everybody. Happy new week. And I'm really, really super excited to be back in my home country now. I'm from a bit of a month away from where I came from. And now today I'm back into my series of interviews with a freshly hot off the press published author from Tassie, Chrysanthi Dokos. We're going to talk a little bit about her book, her journey, the value that she's here to share with the world. So thank you for joining me this morning, Chrysanthi.
Thank you, Nat. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you.
You too. All right, so let's give the official introduction of who you are, and then we can share a bit about your book and, you know, your journey of getting it done and all this sort of stuff and your goals for the future and things like that. So obviously today's live, the title is, you know, getting out, rising like a phoenix. So Chrysanthi is a first time published author now of her own writings, and she has spent a lifetime writing poetry, anonymous blogs, and has kept a journal from the time that she was a teenager. She has had a full life being a businesswoman, educator, wife, mother, and decided to take the plunge into following her heart to become an author after all of that writing. She wrote Getting Out, Claim Your Life After Narcissistic Abuse over the past year, and it's now recently June hot off the press. She did join our program in February last year, as she wanted to benefit from the mentorship and the handwriting process. And she was an English teacher in a previous life and was confident in her writing, but needed a way to navigate the publishing industry and any inevitable blocks that we see come up in this journey. So Chrysanthi now offers courses to women about developing their sense of self, particularly if they have experienced toxic relationships such as narcissistic abuse. She speaks at forums, mentors women, as well as collaborating with US author Amanda Blackwood in broadcasting the podcast Growth from Darkness. She's currently pre-recording a second podcast about freedom and with two other women. And the next project is creating two blogs, one on trauma linked into the Growth from Darkness podcast, and the second one called What Fucks Me Off and Other Ramblings. Stay tuned for that one. That's a nice funky title there, Chrysanthi. How did that all come about?
Oh, look, you know, I'm a thinker, and I always think about lots of different things, and the state of the world, politics, you know, wars, human nature. And I am very much around social justice. Social justice has always been a big thing for me. And things like inequality do really fuck me off. And the way that, you know, society just abuses other people, that, you know, rising homelessness levels, youth unemployment. And so it's about what it will be is really about social justice, but also from the lens of a woman who has experienced inequality throughout her life. And I'll give that, you know, nuanced perspective to it.
I love it. So let's backtrack now. Obviously, this is what's kind of underway right now. But how long had you wanted to write a book, you know, and kind of what was your line in the sand moment that kind of made you know, I'm gonna do this? Because you have loved writing overall.
Yeah, look, I even as a little girl, I had visions of having a house on a cliff and being a writer, being an author, overlooking the water. And I do have that these days. I'm not actually over a cliff and over a magic ocean, but I'm over a cliff and looking out onto a bay. And because of life circumstances, my career came to a halting stop around the time of COVID. Yeah. And it sort of allowed me, gave me the opportunity to have time. And what actually prompted the writing of the book is a few major life changes. I ended up separating from a partner, and I actually ended up in a psych ward. So that was pretty tough. And when I came out of that, I thought, I have to write my story. You know, I've got a story that can be heard by others, and it can make a difference in people's lives. And, you know, like my book's been out for a month or so, and already I've had so many people writing to me and saying how it's impacted on them, how they can relate to it, and the, you know, specific examples that I give, how it's helped them to understand their own circumstances.
I love that. It's pretty brave sharing a story like this, right? Because a lot of people who may be in similar circumstances might be worried. How did you tackle that, you know, aspect of it? Were you nervous, you know, fear of, you know, what people would say or like how it would turn out?
Look, it's interesting. I've, throughout my life, I've gone through periods of feeling shame, which is a trauma response. And at other times, I think, you know, fuck it. You know, this is my lived experience. I can't hide who I am. And who I am has been shaped by what I've experienced. So I'm now loud and proud. Like, you know, the LGBTQI plus community, my life is what it is. And I am not ashamed because things happen to me as well as me making choices about the things that happen to me. Yeah. And we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all make choices that aren't right. But it's our capacity to be able to move beyond that and actually grow from that. And so these days, you know, I'm 57, and what the world thinks of me these days, I really don't care.
Yeah, I love that. So tell me a little bit about within the book, if people were to get your book, what are the kind of points you want to get across? You know, give us a little synopsis directly from the mouth of the author.
Okay, so basically it's around about narcissistic abuse, okay? So it's a particular form of abuse, and it's more of an emotional and psychological abuse rather than physical and sexual. And because of my childhood, I grew up with a father who displayed narcissistic tendencies. Now, I can't diagnose him as a narcissistic person, but his behaviours were certainly like that. And so that gave me the blueprint in my life to keep attracting people that were similar to my dad. So the needs that I had as a child that weren't met from my dad, I kept looking for in other men as an adult. And of course, that was just crazy making because they weren't going to give me what he couldn't give me because they didn't have it either. So my story is about trying to identify what the cycle of narcissistic abuse is. So I go through the stages of narcissistic abuse using my own personal example. So I don't say, you know, this person here and that person there. I call all, because I refer to all the people that I have experienced narcissistic abuse with, and just call them the narcissist. So in my book, that there's this one character called the narcissist, and that character represents a multitude of people who I've come across in my life who've treated me badly. And basically it starts with the love bombing stage, and that's when, you know, when you first meet somebody, they make you feel like a goddess, you know, they put you on a pedestal, you feel like you're the best person on earth, and they've built you up so much that by the time they get to the what's called the devaluing stage, which is the next stage, they start minimizing you and putting you down, and you start thinking, well, who is this person? That's not who I knew. And it starts really messing with your brain. Then you get to the discarding phase, where they actually either shut down emotionally and there's this real block between you and that person, or, you know, they start having affairs or whatever. You know, they just basically, there doesn't feel a connection anymore. And you get to a point where you feel so low, you have such low self-worth that you're disconnected from everyone and everything. And then they do, the next stage is called hoovering, where it's like a vacuum cleaner. You know, they put these little breadcrumbs out of, oh, you know, darling, you know, let's go out for dinner, or, gee, that looks really great on you. And then you think, oh, actually that person that I used to know is back again. And as I said, it's really crazy making. And so I've been in a number of relationships that have ended up like that. But, you know, these people are so clever that they just don't seem to be the person that is at the core of them, which is someone who's quite damaged, someone who's quite bitter and negative about the world. So the first part of my book, the first chapter looks at me at my lowest point. It's called At My Worst. And then the next six chapters go through that stage, lots of stages of the narcissistic abuse cycle. And then the next part of the book, which is the positive part of the book, is unpacks a model that I have called the trust model. So that gives you a little bit of an outline.
I love that. So did you actually name all those stages, or did they come from somewhere, or it was very well explained, I thought.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, look, I had no idea, mm-hmm. you know, and when you're living through it, you can't see it. You actually do not see it. You don't understand it. So when I left one relationship that was a significant one for me because of the love I had for this person, I started doing some reading and things started to click, but not really. And then I met other men and was going through the same cycles, and it just didn't make sense. And so I started to do a lot of reading, a lot of research, and I got to a point where things were becoming clearer, and I realized I was in another relationship that wasn't healthy for me. And then after that, you know, we met, and I thought, I want to write this book, but I did so much research. I had to do a lot of academic research to really understand the complexities of narcissistic abuse, the origins of narcissistic abuse, and, as I said, those stages, and, you know, where these people are who traumatize other people, because they are damaged. You know, they've gone through a really tough experience themselves, and the phrase "hurt people hurt people" constantly rings in my mind.
I've got someone in my life that displays exactly those stages, you know, so you know, and it's more common than we know. And I guess you writing this book, did it bring you a bit of closure, or like kind of almost made your life started to make sense?
Oh, look, it's given me a lot of clarity.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I've had experiences with friends, and particularly female friends, that have fallen into the same categories. And I could never understand, you know, why are they such a bitch? You know, they're so nice. They give me lovely presents. They do this with me. They do that with me. And yet they can be so awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was that really made me question people's behaviour and where they're at. And now I just sort of sit back a bit like a Buddhist and go, that's okay. You know, that's where they're at. It doesn't mean that that's where I'm at anymore. And, you know, I just try to live a quiet life with just a few close people around me. And, I do volunteering and things like that. But it's allowed me to find peace. It's, you know, it was a, what would I call it, very cathartic process writing the book. And, I've got peace, which is really lovely, really lovely.
I'd really like to hear that, because, I mean, one of the reasons people sometimes even join our program to do their books is purely for healing and nothing more. Or just to give it to the family for Christmas, you know, just like a legacy piece. And definitely I can feel that from you. And good morning, but lots of people have been saying good morning, and how well you explained that of what I said.
Thank you.
And thank you for those of you saying welcome back, and I'm happy to be back in my office, in my own comfort of my own home. Tell me, you know, other people, let's say we're talking about the people we want to help now with the book and the content and all that sort of stuff. You know, some people may think, oh, it's too late for me, or I'm not brave enough to start a new life on my own. As I said, I know a person in my own life whose partner would be in that situation, and she's just never going to leave and all that. What's your advice when someone thinks it's too late, this has gone for too long, or maybe that they don't lack the confidence, or maybe they're not even financially able to leave the relationship? What are some pieces of, you know, little hot tips here that you can share with us?
Look, they are very real concerns. And, you know, I've met a lot of women and men who have been in narcissistic relationships like this, because I think it's really important that we clarify that it's not just men. And look, what worked for me is that I did a whole lot of stuff over time, and I developed what I called the trust model, and maybe I can talk to you a little bit about more about that now. Because basically trust stands for trust your gut, reach out, unbind from the narcissist, stay grounded, and tear apart the wounds. So trust your gut is very much about a process of becoming reconnected with yourself, because one of the things about narcissistic abuse is that you become a shell of who you were. At an emotional, psychological, even physical level. Like I, at one point, lost, I was a size 14 to 16, and I lost so much weight, I got down to a size 8. You know, like I was really unwell. And so it's about reconnecting with who you are as a human being and building yourself up. And, so trust in your gut is that mind-body connection, and it's really important that you do things for yourself, like really basic things. Go for a walk. Do some exercise. It's about self-care, and it's not – self-care goes beyond just, you know, having the right diet. It goes to the point of, you know, I said unbind from the narcissist. It's about putting in boundaries for yourself as well. So that's the third process. The second process was reaching out. So for me, I actually reached out to health professionals, to, as I said, I ended up in a psych ward, so mental health professionals, and getting that, you know, support around you. That's professional community, but also reaching out to friends and family, because often when you're in a narcissistically abusive relationship, you become disconnected and alienated from other people. So building yourself up first, and it takes a lot of things that you've talked about before, you know, positive affirmations and you know, writing in your journal, you know, those really simple steps actually help you to reconnect with yourself, and then give you the confidence and strength to then reach out with others, to others. And unbinding from the narcissist is a really huge step. My little dog Charlie's just woken up.
Oh, good. I've got a comment here from Candina. Oh, wow, it's a longer one. I'll read it out while you're talking about. I recently had a situation where I was called a bad, crazy, narcissistic bitch that needs help, has no friends, and needs to give up on creative writing, sitting online with make-believe friends, in Hangout with in Zoom, on my little computer making books and music no one likes but me. The irony of it all is I'm a survivor of a seriously toxic and narcissistic abuse and took years of course to recognize signs and rid myself of it, yet I'm not angry. Here I am triggered and second-guessing my place and purpose in life now, sadly, but happy I made this live today. I love the topic and would love to buy the book to revisit myself and see if there is any validity to what she says. Is the book on Amazon? Yes, it is. We'll tell you guys in a moment where you can get the book.
Okay, can I just comment on that? She's not crazy.
No.
She's a very connected human being. The fact that she can actually sit down and write and allow that to come out. A narcissist doesn't have that self-awareness and capacity to do that. So, you know, don't allow people to bring yourself down. Absolutely not.
I know Candy's written multiple books, kids' books, which she's gifted to my own children, and you know, her own, you know, personal story and all that sort of stuff. So, but often people can say these kind of things to us to hurt us. But your best revenge, I always say, is, well, you know, what have they done? You know,
exactly.
Published so many books. So I said, your best revenge is success. That's
totally.
Just keep showing up and helping people. I'd say. Beautiful.
And the thing for me is, like, revenge is again a toxic feeling for me personally. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it wash off your back, off your shoulders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to ask me another question.
No. I was just going to say we diverted because the puppy visited, and were we up to the fourth one in the trust model?
Yes. So where are we? Staying grounded. Yes, staying grounded is the next one, and that's really all about finding things that actually help you to find that space within yourself, like, for example, meditation or mindfulness. Now, one of the simple things that I did when I couldn't meditate, because meditation is not an easy process, I would sit out on my balcony with my breakfast and coffee and just listen to the birds, listen to the cars, feel the sun on my face, be conscious of, you know, what was my surroundings were. So it's that sort of mindful approach to your activities each day, just to slow down your system, because part of going through narcissistic abuse and any other trauma is your body is constantly bombarded with various neurotransmitters like cortisol and adrenaline, and part of the process of healing is to detox our bodies from that and help it find that homeostasis, that calm place, because it's only then that we can actually really unbind from negative things, because we start to feel good within ourselves. And so the last area that I looked at was tear the wounds apart, and this is probably the hardest one. Because what you need to do is actually go back to the past and look at things that have happened in the past and identify, wow, yeah, that was a wrong, that behavior was wrong when I was a child or a young person. But that doesn't hurt me anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to hurt me anymore. And so you find ways, and I talk about that in the book, of dealing with those past hurts.
Yeah.
So that you can actually live your best life. And, you know, like at 57, I said I'm 57, I feel better than I have in my whole entire life.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. I mean, when you can go back and with awareness find moments of when beliefs were instilled or certain, that it wasn't you and that it was other things. So thank you for sharing so much. So tell us a little bit about the book, right? I mean, we know now already that it was very cathartic and healing for you.
Yeah.
How else would you describe this process of going through the 48 Hours of Program?
Oh, look, I loved it because you gave us such a simple structure to follow, and it helped me really whittle down what I wanted to say, because I had so much information going on in my head, and there were so many examples that I could have included, but I had to, you know, I had the 40,000 words that I had to stick to. And so it actually helped me get through that. And then having the support of Stu, for example, he helped me with the naming of the chapters. He helped me come up with the title. And there's been a few times when I've had a few things that I've needed clarification on, and I've whipped something across to him and say, you know, could you please just look at this chapter and tell me what you think? And he'd give that feedback. And then with the rest of the team going through the whole, you know, editing, oh my gosh, editing process nearly did my head in. and that was really good, having, you know, Lendi and Julie and, Viv, you know, like it was really great to have the team around to help me through that process. And
you had quite a few things happen in your life, didn't you, even in the lead up of the retreat 3-day program, you know, and you had traveled after the retreat and did a few other things. So you still stuck to it, and you have one of the things I want to commend you on. You have turned up to all the mentoring and the sessions and listened and learned. And, you know, I know you want to be a rider moving forward. So, what a wonderful, you know, thing to be part of this community and to continue, you know, bring out, you know, is there another book in you that's coming out at some stage in the next couple of years?
Definitely there is. I'm tossing between Authentically Me, Life After Narcissistic Abuse, you know, like a sequel. Yeah, before we started recording, we talked about a blog I'm just about to dive into called What Fucks Me Off and Other Ramblings. And I'm wondering whether I turn that into a book after I've had, about a year or so of writing my blogs there.
Well, we'll see what can talk more about it. We'll catch up next. I love it. People are actually saying, thank you for sharing. This is something you're so inspiring. I have a family member who was in a relationship with a narcissistic partner. She has finally left the situation but has a lot of healing, so I may buy the book for her. Her daughter copped the brunt of his actions and is struggling to cope with life. I try and help where I can. Thank you so much for your honesty. Looking forward to reading your book. Suzanne, thank you so much. Wonderful interview, some amazing insights and that the world is receiving. And another thank you from Candy. So let's tell these guys where to buy the books. Is they're all waiting for us to tell where to buy the books. So Hisanti, your website, I'm going to share this on the screen now, guys.
Thank you.
This is Hisanti's website, and I'll spell out her name in case you're listening to this as a podcast. It's HRISANTHIDOKOS.com.au. It will be posted, if it's a video, just below this live stream, so that you can click on it. So the book, if you scroll down the website, you can see the book cover here, but also you can buy my book up the top. The book is also available on all your good online reseller websites like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, because it is distributed through the Ingram Spark Distribution Network. If you, I guess, buy it from Hisanti directly, most likely she'll sign it for you and put it in the mail. I'm sure Lindy will sort out the link. And thank you for your beautiful comments, everybody, today. That's probably a very interactive interview, in terms of people commenting on what you shared. I think it was very valuable. I think if someone comes across this, and this interview is going to be out there in the world now across YouTube and my podcast and through the database, if it just touches that one person who may not recognize some of these signs and they get a copy of your book, isn't that what we say? If we can save one person's life,
absolutely. We did a women's circle, and one of the women has been writing to me because I inspired her to leave her partner, and it's just been wonderful.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. And everybody, I'm back for my interview series. So catch interviews like this every Monday at 9 a.m. live on this personal profile, in case there were some new people here that have just joined our community who have been watching as well. So I look forward to, you know, sharing more inspiring stories like Hisanti's. But go out there and get her book, Getting Out. I'll give you one last look at the cover. Show them the real book, Hisanti. You've got a copy there.
Can you see that okay?
Absolutely, I can see that. There it is, and I'll share my screen so they can see it a bit closer. Here it is on the screen, with the back cover as well. Beautiful picture there, and what it is. So good luck with everybody. Look forward to catching up with you very soon, and everybody go out there and smash it out for this week. Bye guys.